Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Daniels waits for the snap, and here it is. Rush on, blitz on, throws the slam, right side, broken up. Keyshawn Nixon with his left hand reached in front and denied the completion to Jalen Lane at the 45-yard line. And there is your dagger.
Thank you to the Packers Radio Network. Final score 27-18. Even that score is closer than how it felt last night, and it was the Packers defense that led the way. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The defensive line was up in Jaden Daniels' face the entire night, Pearl. Yep. They could the offensive line for the Washington Commanders could not block, and then the receivers couldn't get any separation for Washington either because the Green Bay secondary was so sticky. It was an all-out great performance from what was already a really good defense. Add in Micah Parsons, and you see this thing just go to another level.
Yeah, there was one play that really spoke to me last night. Not the sack, not the pressures, not the penalties he drew. There was a run play where he was on the opposite side of the field, and he pursued like a missile. Micah Parsons, this is, on a 7-yard gain, and he has a motor. And I saw this in Dallas last year. When he was out, that defense got completely A, boring, B, ineffective. Then he came back and he seemed to rev everybody else up because I think he's like one of those generational players. There's a few in the NFL right now. Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Nick Bosa, and Micah Parsons. And I think you see everybody upping their game, A, because of all the attention he's getting, but also the energy he brings.
If you are an Eagles fan, you are the reigning NFL champs and obviously the strongest team in the NFC. Are the Packers the biggest threat to the Eagles right now? Is that how you see it?
I think the Eagles are the biggest threat to the Packers right now because I think the Packers are the favorite. I mean, listen, the Eagles tried to trade for Micah too. They know that they lost a lot of pass rush this offseason. I think the Eagles' fearsome defense, the number one defense, I believe, from last year, seems to have lost a lot of guys. I think Green Bay got a lot of guys this offseason. It feels to me like they're the favorite in the NFC.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you see it that way? Should the Packers be the favorites in the NFC? Here's my one critique about the Packers, and I like what they're doing in this vertical passing game, and they're always able to take big shots and, you know, constantly try to put pressure on opposing defenses because they have this great defense, right? Like you can try to be airing the ball out. It's kind of a receiver by committee. There's not just one standout star who needs to get fed, you know, on offense outside of Josh Jacobs, the running back. But with Detroit and then this week on a short week against Washington, and I get these are two also good teams, we think, in the NFC. It's like they're dominating the game, but the score is not insurmountable. Like, this was actually a one-score game. It was 17-10 in the fourth quarter. It was weird because it never felt like the Commanders were getting close and the yardage differential and all that, yet the scoreboard told you a different story. That's the one thing about the Packers. I'm like, you could have put this Commanders team away like in the first half, and they couldn't.
But I think that's their style, though. I mean, they saw it in Detroit. They get a lead, and then they're just going to just run. I mean, Josh Jacobs has 42 carries in 2 weeks. I mean, he's going to lead the league in attempts at that rate by 50 miles. So I think
averaging like 8 yards a pass.
But they don't drop back that much. I think they're going to be a conservative offense. I mean, I think their run balance last night with 31 passes of 30 runs. Most teams are, you know, 60 to 40. To be 50-50 run pass, that says a lot. That says we're going to sit on the lead.
I know, but didn't you see not all these passes are created equal? Like, it was not a dinking and dunking when it comes to the passing game. Like, there is Jordan Love, like, testing guys, you know, they're throwing the ball deep. It felt like they were looking for explosives when they were passing the ball.
But that's all true. But you could see in both games, once they got the lead, their whole offense shit. Yeah, early in the game, they're flying all over there. They're trying a lot of things, but they just slow it down. That's definitely the case in Detroit. They were, because I, Jordan Love is my fantasy quarterback, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, in Detroit, this guy's going to throw 9 touchdowns this game. And then he barely dropped back the rest of the game. It was just Josh Jacobs. Last night, the same thing happened. Basically, they say most of the explosive plays were in the first half. And then Washington, because of the penalties, controlled the ball a lot. You know, the Green Bay's defense kept letting Washington's drive last longer. So I think that's why, another reason, as Matt LaFleur said many times, we were super sloppy last night. We gave Washington way too many chances with penalties.
They had 10 penalties, the Packers did. Yeah. That's usually doom, but they didn't have any turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, Washington was also sloppy. Poor Laramie Tunsil. He's gotten plenty of money, but that dude, they should nickname him. Laramie Tunsil should be LS for late start. I mean, early start. What jumps every single time.
I thought both lines were jumping every single time. You got rookie tackles on both teams that were getting kind of abused as well. 888-710-4ISN. The Packers now, the front runner, Super Bowl contender. Do they look better so far than anyone else? Obviously, they've played another game. It's just so funny to me, right? 65 plays, total plays for Washington last night. 63 plays for Green Bay. Right?
That's unbelievable.
They're both running basically the same amount of plays. Total yards for Washington, 230. Packers, 404. Mm. Like, it was just not even close on the stat sheet when it comes to yardage. Yet they have the same amount of plays.
Yeah, I know. There are a lot of things you have to ask. Is this about Green Bay's defense or is Washington's offense bad? I say right now, like, to me, I will not judge Washington off this game. Short week, week two, really the first in-season Thursday night game, going to that madhouse with a whiteout. You go and play offense against them. They were fired up beyond belief. Everyone's so excited. And I know it's the crowd doesn't play, but I felt like the entire building was on fire last night. That was a hard spot. And they were obvious. Also, they looked tired as all get out. Like Washington, you could see they were sucking wind early on in that game.
Well, you have a little bit of an older team. Maybe that's what happens. I don't know.
I took 4 days rest, Meg. It's Thursday night football. Okay. We've seen consistent garbage on Thursday night for years.
That's true, but the Packers were also on short rest.
At home.
Okay, but the other part, too, about Washington, I felt like not a lot of urgency at the end of the half. Settling for a long field goal when they could have continued to move the ball. They did no tempo, basically, until the end of the game. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit were talking about that. And their kicker ends up missing a 50-plus yarder before the first half and then misses another 50-plus yarder on the other side of halftime. Yeah. So two drives there coming up, just super empty. And then Green Bay goes down and kicks a field goal. It's now 17-3, and the Commanders go 3 and out.
How are you going to run
really
tempo?
Disappointing.
How are you going to run tempo when your quarterback is
peeling himself off the ground?
That guy got hit on every single play, and he had about a quarter. By the way, Jaden Daniels, he hung in the pocket as long as he could. He was trying so hard. There's no way. Like, they had 200 total yards. How was he going to have time to throw the ball downfield? There was just absolutely no chance for him to find, say, Terry McLaurin downfield. It was not going to happen.
No, he didn't have any time. I'm sorry to jump you. And then the other part is he couldn't even really run the ball at all either.
They spied him too.
They were containing him. He had 7 carries for 17 yards.
Yeah.
The longest was an 8-yard scamper. It was not like a signature Jaden Daniels game.
But I think he went against an elite defense. I mean, maybe Washington is not as good as last year. Maybe they are. But I think that was a function of Green Bay's defense. I think last year that defense would have shut him down too. They were the other thing too, like the coaching matchup. I saw coming into the game, like, LaFleur owns Quinn. I didn't even know that. Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, has always had success against Dan Quinn defenses.
Well, the most famous one is, what did Jerry say? The worst loss of his entire tenure owning the Dallas Cowboys was when Matt LaFleur came in with the Packers and beat the Cowboys when Dan Quinn was still the defensive coordinator. Washington as a team had 51 rushing yards last night. As a team.
No, I mean, that's the other thing. You can say what you want about Jaden Daniels. The Austin Eckler, Bill Kroski-Merritt combo. Green Bay was also stifling against the run. I mean, they were flying.
Can I bring up something not football? So this Bill Kroski-Merritt, right? He's become a big name because he had a big preseason, and then the Commanders traded Brian Robinson to the San Francisco 49ers. So he's like clearly the guy. Good story, 7th-round pick. Yeah. But it seems like everyone's fascinated that he wants to be called Bill.
Yeah.
Bill is one of the most common names that we have in the world. Like, if he wanted to be called Shabba-Lubba Ding Dong, I'd be like, wow, this is quite a story.
Yeah, but his name is Ja'Cory, though.
But he's asking to be called just like a very, it's like, hey, call me Jim.
Wait, like, that makes no sense. If your name is Jim. Fred, why would you say call me Jim?
There are people who do this.
But like, I'm just saying, it's if he was like nobody call me Shaboozy, I'd be like, well, this guy's on one.
No,
call me Bill is like easy.
Name another example of a guy who goes to the name Bill. That never happened.
Billy Jocalone. Bill is so common.
You don't change your name.
That's like Aloysius, you know?
My name is something cool like Jalen. I'm going to change it to...
Jim.
To Jim. No, that never happens.
Yeah, you go from Mike to Giancarlo. You don't go from Giancarlo to Mike.
Yeah, right. This stand.
No, but I was going to say, I mean, I had an ex-friend who his name was Vladimir, and his family and everyone called him Jimmy.
Is that ex-friend?
An ex-friend?
I don't want to get into that, but yeah, he was.
Whoa.
Giancarlo!
Well, that could be, maybe he didn't want to be Vlad. So he wants to be a little more Americanized.
Well, okay, it's in his household. It's not outside the household. Mm. Everyone else called him Vladimir.
But give me an athlete then.
I can't think of an athlete.
Okay, listen.
Giancarlo!
Do we not have a lot of Bills anymore? Like, maybe not. We don't have a lot of Freds, Fred Warner, but like, there's some of these, like, we probably have more Jalens than we have, like, anything for professional sports. It's such a popular name, but it's Bill.
I mean,
it's not that big of a deal.
One of my other friends, his name is Martin, but he goes by Bill or Billy because that's his middle name. But that's more because his other brother is named Martin. He doesn't want the same name as his brother.
Seen that before.
Who needs Brunson?
I'm actually surprised that you guys don't find this odd. The guy's name is Ja'Cory, and he wants to be called Bill because of a cartoon when he was 3 years old. Show me another athlete who's picked a more boring second name. Like, you get more excited with your second name. You don't be like, well, I have a really cool first name. Let's make it something that an accountant would be called in 1965.
That
does not happen.
It is weird, but the origin makes sense. That's why maybe it's not as weird for me. Because the fact that he's like, oh, I looked like little Bill. So everyone called me Bill.
From an animated Cosby show, which didn't age well.
Right. Just like, you know, people like Snoop Dogg says, people said I look like Snoopy. So my grandma called me Snoop.
Also,
like, that's how that people, like, especially black folks, we do that a lot.
Nicknames.
But the other thing, too, is Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt is one of the oddest, hardest to say names in the history of sports.
Like, amen.
You ever met a Krosky Merritt before?
No. Like, I got a harder one, though. It's just like, it's such a mouthful. Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
IKF, baby.
Let's None of those names go together to me.
Yeah. But
Ja'Cory
Krosky Merritt is always a weird name. Like, I actually want to be called like Joe Smith or something. Like, you have this great, interesting name.
But to me, it's just not as remarkable as people are making out to be. Anyway, that's just me.
By the way, he was rookie of the week. Great week one. And then I thought he would be starting. And then they played Austin Eckler as the primary back, which I did not understand. I feel terrible for Austin Eckler towards Achilles. Yeah.
But
JCM clearly should be their number one back. He got four carries last night. That's
four
another
carries
thing.
For 17
BCM,
yards.
Man. It's BCM.
Yeah, just call the guy
no,
Bill.
No. I think they explained this. It's either Bill or Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. It's not Bill Krosky Merritt. Like, he doesn't like to mix the two.
I like that.
All right, now I got a lot of rules here. All right.
He looked good last night, too. They just didn't have a chance to do anything because Micah Parsons and Edgerton Cooper and Lucas Van Ness were... That was a house on fire they ran into last night.
Yeah, and I don't think the Commanders helped themselves either. 888-710-4ISN. Big fourth and four. Terry McLaurin's not on the field. Like, they just didn't seem like they were all together last night.
That's great decision-making by DC.
Terry McLaurin, when he's on the field, wasn't on the field. Like, what difference does he make? He is completely ineffective. Completely. By the way, I'm sorry, the post-30 wash receiver thing, he's going to be Exhibit A.
They had a nice catch down the sideline. I don't know.
Is it just he's out of shape because he wasn't practicing?
This is where the off-season things hold over, man.
Debo is old, and he looks great. Terry McLaurin looks completely ineffective. Like, I would not target him anymore.
Well, let's
and
see
Noah
how long.
Brown is not great either.
Let's see how long Debo can hold up. Like, I worry about that. You know, Zach Ertz and Debo Samuel are a huge part of this offense, and these guys are year 13, year 12. It's a lot. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, are the Packers the biggest threat to the Eagles, and does Jerry Jones look worse and worse the better Micah Parsons plays? You can come watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And EJ, do we have an update here on the poll results? We're narrowing in.
Yeah,
3 minutes left.
We're getting down to the wire.
Three.
And I'm sorry to pearl off. It's not looking great. We're right now at 51% for the Miami Dolphins.
There you go.
8%. For the Steelers.
Yep. So, 72 Dolphins versus 78 Pittsburgh Steelers. Who will be the king of the mountain?
3 minutes left.
Week 2.
Well, I mean, if they can beat the 78 Steelers, we might be looking at another perfect season.
This is going to be interesting. Can the 72 Dolphins run the table, not just in real life, but also in the Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain?
I wonder about voter fatigue. I feel like as the weeks go on, people who have been voting for the Dolphins may be like, all right, we've seen enough of these guys. Let's throw, I don't know, the Cowboys or Patriots up there.
Oh, God, yeah, no. I feel like recency bias is going to help a lot, too. If you get a newer team, that might knock them off.
It's going to be Brady.
No. It's going to be 85 Bears.
Or 85 Bears.
I think 85 Bears is a good... is definitely going to be a possibility.
I think one of Joe Judge's Giants teams.
I think the 84 Niners should not. It was 80. Whoa. Well, we were
84 49ers.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Maybe I mumbled. Yeah. But
hello. Good morning.
You know, it's funny, too, because the Steelers team, one thing, the 72 Dolphins have 1 year of awesomeness. The Steelers
team. They won back to back Super Bowls.
Well, yeah, but the 70, but like a lot of people mix up the 78, the 79 Steelers and the earlier ones. Like, you know, the 72 Dolphins, the Niners are the same way. If you ask me what's the greatest Joe Montana Super Bowl team, I have no idea.
They won a lot of those Super Bowls by a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and what about the Steve Young Super Bowl team? And what about the 90s Cowboys? And what about my Eagles from last year? Are they going to make the list? Find out.
888-710-4ISN. Hell of a cliffhanger there. 888-710-4476. So the voting is about to be closed. 72 Dolphins, 78 Steelers. Coming up, it's probably not a great sign when you need to have a players-only meeting after week one. We'll see if it'll make a difference. Maggie and Perloff.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. All right, we turn to Manny Tires. By the way, I'm also a bit of a racing expert. Just watched F1 last weekend.
And
I'm curious, is NASCAR going to be a big NASCAR movie? As our insider, what do you got?
Well, I'll tell you guys that it's the NASCAR Cup Series. The playoffs cruise into week three. It's the Bass Pro Shops Night Race from Bristol Motor Speedway in Bristol, Tennessee. It's cut down day two. This contest will conclude the round of 16. As of this moment, on the outside looking in is Austin Dillon, Shane Van Gisbergen, Alex Bowman, and Josh Berry. Sitting pretty right now, though, it's Joe Gibbs Racing. Both Denny Hamlin and Chase Briscoe, they have clinched a spot in the next round, the round of 12. Who moves on? Who gets eliminated? It's the final race of the round of 16. It's the Bass Pro Shops Night Race. 500 laps at Bristol Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. Green flag wave, Saturday, 7:30 Eastern.
Nice job, Manny Tires.
My mortal enemy, Joe Gibbs. You know this?
Does he know that?
Yes, he does. I've never told you my quick Joe Gibbs story.
No, go ahead.
I was at a tailgate at Ohio State, and for some reason, he's good friends with there's a famous Ohio State lineman. He was in a tailgate party, and I said, "Mr. Gibbs, I'm a Eagles fan. Used to kill us in the playoffs. Huge fan." And he goes, "I know you. You're on the Dan Patrick Show. Why don't you guys talk about NASCAR more?"
Joe Gibbs.
That he didn't say anything like "nice to meet you" or "I appreciate the kind words." He's like, "Why don't you talk about NASCAR more?"
He's like, "Hey, McLovin." He's like, "Hey, McLovin, why don't you give us a little more love on the?"
He didn't call me McLovin. He had no idea. Like, he didn't know who I was. But generally, yeah, he is. And by the way, he was like, "This is a coach. That man is no nonsense. Like, I want him coaching my football team because he doesn't look to have a nice bone in his entire body, unlike Matt LaFleur and Dan Quinn."
Yeah, they were bro hugging it up before the game. Yeah, man,
Joe Gibbs,
intimidating figure.
Those Joe Gibbs Washington teams were really good. I think history forgets him because of the awful Daniel Snyder era. And
well, and it came back and it didn't really do much, but no.
Yeah, because it was under Snyder.
Yeah,
though.
Of course. No, yeah. I have not forgotten anything about the Joe Gibbs era. Just one of the many teams to beat my team in a Super Bowl. But
yeah, I'm sorry.
That's pretty awesome. You should have invited him on the show that day. Were you like, "Come on the show"?
No, he wasn't nice. He was really, I'm being dead serious. He was not nice. He is a competitive human being.
Yeah.
He's really killed it in the racing game. I mean, I think that's an underrated story that he was one of the great coaches of all time and then became one of the great NASCAR figures of all time.
Am I just misremembering this? Did we ever do a great debate about the best second acts for somebody? Did we? Bogus is nodding his head. Yes. We did like greatest. It wasn't comebacks. We called it second act.
You definitely call it second act. And I feel like we didn't mention Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
And somebody called and brought him up.
EJ, you remember this, right?
Yeah, someone definitely called and I defended them because I was like, Joe Gibbs was better than people remember.
No, we're saying it as a racing, you know, impresario.
Because I think we did like Madden and stuff like people that
Michael Strahan would have been a good one.
Yeah,
that kind of second act. So who'd you pick? Do you remember? I have no idea.
I don't remember, but we have a show sheet for every single show we've ever done. So we'll go find it.
That Eagles long snapper who became a touring magician, John Dornbos.
Yeah,
that's a good one. The more random, the better.
Yeah, people. It was people who half the population may not even know that they had like a sports thing.
Oh, like an actor or something like that?
Or whatever. Yeah. Even like John Madden. I don't know if a lot of people know he was a coach, right?
I think Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan really was an actor? No, I know, but like I think that was like, that's like was part of the conversation. Like, because it was
like a Matt Reynolds saying, type of thing?
It was just like that we didn't. People knew him for like the quote unquote like wrong or the secondary reason, not the first act.
Oh,
so I remember Manny going, he was the governor and he was an actor. Like Manny was very confused by Ronald Reagan's history that day.
Reagan was a cheerleader and a broadcaster, not much of an athlete.
Right, but an actor first as well, then governor and then president.
Oh.
That was all part of that day.
Yeah, he was in the Gipper movie.
Yep. Win one for the Gipper.
Yeah, which was called the New Rockney Story.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame, big game this weekend against Texas A&M. Notre Dame had a bye after their first week, so they go on the road, lose to EJ's Miami Hurricanes, but now have to regroup against Texas A&M.
Ooh, this feels really... Texas A&M looks really good.
I was surprised when I saw Marcus Freeman as a 3-0 record against the SEC. They went down to Texas A&M, beat them last year in the opener, but obviously Notre Dame was a super good team. They were in the finals.
Good for Johnny Manziel. Good for Johnny Manziel bringing A&M back.
I don't think it has much to do with him anymore.
Well, it just feels like a completely different A&M team from the last couple of years. So, I mean, you brought up the great point, not to rehash this debate. If Notre Dame goes
0-2
losses,
yeah,
are they out? And I said that the brand is so strong, it doesn't matter if they just beat up on a bunch of service academies, the committee will put them in. I think it's very possible that happens. I think A&M has a great chance this weekend. Then we'll see. Does the committee really care about strength of schedule? Do they care about brands?
It's going to put them absolutely to the test. But if they win this game, then they're good. It would really depend, I guess, on USC. If USC ends up being a good team and they're still ranked, that would be one more opportunity to impress the committee. If USC falls apart and that is no longer looked at as a good win by the end of the season, then if you're Notre Dame, you go 0-2, I just don't know how you impress the committee again. To your point, service academies, some of this ACC schedule, it's just not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, USC's got a strangely easy schedule, too. So that'll be a weird one.
But the craziest part is Notre Dame, I thought, didn't even look bad against Miami.
No,
they didn't look terrible.
They look like Notre Dame. Like, they are going to get in there and punch through, and, like, they're not going to blow out anybody. They're just sort of a reflection of Marcus Freeman. I think they remember the national title game. They did the same thing. Like, they were... had a huge talent deficit, but they just fight really hard.
Yeah, they're just never out of it. Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Does Notre Dame have the most at stake this weekend? Got a lot of interesting matchups. We'll dive more into college in a moment. Ramon's in Indianapolis, wants to talk about Micah Parsons last night. All over the field for Green Bay. The defense looks amazing. What's up, Ramon?
Thank you for taking my call. My favorite morning show. You guys are always on the razor's edge. Occam's razor. Loved that when I studied that in college. Anyway.
Razor Ramon.
Yeah, you juxtaposed the question about Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
We can see the fruits of it. We can see the fruits. Well, all those callers that agree with him from Dallas and all those detractors, they don't really understand great players. You don't judge a great player by his own stats. You judge a great player how it lifts other players, and you can see yesterday, those other defenders, that other team, they are lifted. They were all over the place. We haven't seen Jalen Daniels look that bad since he's came in the league as far as not getting time. You know what I mean? He didn't have any time.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's just an energy and a boost that's through the whole organization.
Shout out to the coach. I love that coach. I wish the Bears could have got him because Jordan Love looks fantastic and Caleb Williams looks crazy. So
wait, Razor Ramon, 1 second. So I guess a Cowboy fan, you know, just to play devil's advocate, would say, well, why couldn't Micah Parsons lift the Cowboys defense to what it looked like against the Packers, what it looks like for the Packers now, right?
Well, Perloff pointed out when every game he played in Dallas, they had the number one defense. Yeah. And the games he didn't play in, they were worse. So he did lift them up. That's what Perloff pointed out in the stats.
Yeah, their EPA was huge with him.
It's fair. Everyone talks about the run game, though. And that's why we thought that it was weird that the Dallas fans were calling in droves saying, Micah Parsons, good riddance, see you never, because they couldn't stop the run. It's like, well, that's not all Micah Parsons' responsibility.
Well, yeah,
it sure isn't.
But Green Bay is sure much stouter up the middle in Dallas, so they can
help. And then Dallas has a problem. Remember, they haven't done anything in 30 years. So, I mean, Tony Romo, and they fired the guy that's on NBC. Bill Parcells, he ran out of there. Everybody forgot about that. Jerry Jones ran Bill Parcells out of there. Parcells. So, Micah, a great player, lifts. Steph Curry could go at 37 to every team in the NBA, probably except Oklahoma, maybe even Oklahoma City, and lift them to another title. It's just what great players do. I'm not saying he's like Steph Curry, but I'm saying you can see Green Bay's defense has never been listed as a number one defense probably in the last 5 years, but you got to say right now that's the best defense in the league. Thank you.
Razor Ramon, appreciate you, pal.
I love this. You've given callers nicknames. Very clever.
We said Razor's Edge. I mean, it's right there.
Razor's Edge, which is quite different than Occam's Razor, by the way, which was an interesting juxtaposition. But Bill Parcells in Dallas, 4 years, torture for Jerry. Every second, apparently, was total torture. To have a bigger ego and a bigger star in the front office than him, I'm amazed that they even lasted that long. And they were pretty good.
Yeah, they were. Although Bill Parcells, I think, was one of those guys, a little very different personality-wise, but like Jim Harbaugh. Like, it burns bright, but it can burn out because he didn't last long in New England either. The Jets, it's like Miami. He kind of bounced around a little bit after the Giants.
Yeah,
because he's so good, but I think he's so demanding on everyone.
But obviously, like, him and Jerry, like, that wasn't going to work. It's amazing that Jerry, someone told me they hired Bill Parcells in 03 because they needed to win some games to get the new stadium. That was the, because they were terrible. Remember, that was like the Dave Campo era. They were bad for a long time. They're like, well, I don't want to have a superstar coach in here, but I guess I got to win some games so I can build that big TV. I have checked the timing on that. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I have heard that rumor before. Maybe the stadium was already being built, but it was way out of character. Because look, Jerry Jones wants to hire no names. Because he wants to be the man.
By the way, we did do the great debate, greatest second act, but it was head coaching. So we kept it to sports. Perloff's pick was Phil Jackson with the Lakers. Maggie picked Pete Carroll with the Seahawks /USC. I picked Pat Riley with the Knicks. Pete Bellotti picked Bruce Bochy, surprise, surprise, with the Rangers. And then Bogish picked Dusty Baker with the Astros.
Oh, those are all great choices.
But I remember still a different topic. I remember doing like John Madden as a video game guy, not the Raiders coach.
I think you're an idiot.
I've been trying to find a different second act thing, unless we named it something different.
What?
But this is January 17, 2024. And apparently it came off of the idea that Bill Belichick, we thought, was going to be hired in the NFL. It never happened. Earlier in the week, we did a segment, can he replicate his success with the Patriots with another NFL team? And then that inspired the thought that he would be with another NFL team, and then here he is in college.
But I was a baby.
Belichick would have been a good answer. Did anyone do that?
Oh, I guess Belichick from Cleveland to New England.
Sure.
Yeah.
Belichick
was the basis of this.
Was more like who had a better second stint or second. Well, actually, Pete Carroll, that was not a second.
I just don't like him.
He had already been in the NFL, then college, then back to the NFL. Okay.
I feel like you cheated on that one, Maggie, because you took the Seahawks and USC. We all did one team. You kind of tried to throw everything in there. The whole kitchen sink.
Maggie's always messing with the
By the way, Pete Carroll, 1-0. Maybe you'll get fourth act now?
It's possible.
New England.
Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest headlines. What's up?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more
at progressivecommercial.com. Shaq wanted to be my dad.
Dan Quinn's
Commanders
lost last night at Lambeau. It was 28-17 on the scoreboard, plus D lineman Dedrick Wise carted off with a right quad injury, and there's concern that Austin Eckler tore his Achilles.
Tough night, honestly, from an injury standpoint and in game. We used the weekend to see where we're at from the injuries. I don't want to, you know, make a guess, and so I'll give you those updates on Monday.
It was 27-18 on the scoreboard, by the way. I think I flipped some numbers there. On the field, his team missed two long field goals, failed twice on fourth down. They kept it close, but couldn't keep the Packers from starting 2-0 for the third time under Matt LaFleur. The first two times, they went on to reach the NFC title game. Jordan Love threw for 292 yards and two scores.
This was great. To start the season off 2-0 against two really good teams, two good teams in NFC North that were obviously big playoff teams last year. It feels good. So couldn't have, started the season off on a better note. So it's one thing that we just got to keep building on. But it feels great right now.
Now, the bad news for Green Bay is that wideout Jaden Reed is out long term with a broken collarbone.
That was rough.
Some are calling it the final piece of a championship puzzle. The Knicks with a significant signing yesterday. With more, here's Odyssey NBA insider Peter Schwartz.
NBA Knicks reportedly re-signing guard Landry Shamet to a one-year deal.
Landry Shamet.
He should have known Landry Shamet's name. Come on.
I kind of like it better as Shamet.
That's not the worst, Peter Schwartz.
Oh, no, it's not the worst. It's just another.
It's the latest.
It's the latest. Yeah. The latest.
NBA
drop.
Knicks reportedly re-signing guard Landry Shamet to a one-year deal.
Forward
center Victor Wembanyama.
Apparently.
Sean Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, he apparently was going Brian Shelton one night instead of Ben Shelton during the U.S. Open recently.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So I've become Morocco. A little obsessed with Peter Schwartz on social media. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
My girth is rather large.
The algorithm's been feeding me. He does some side interview show where he interviewed Edgar Alfonso the other day, and they're like best friends now. And then, because it's usually some third string Islanders lineman. And
third liner.
Yeah. I honestly, if anyone wants to produce an internal 30 for 30 on the occasional fill in for Andrew Bogus, I'm in. I find this guy totally fascinating.
Pico DeGoyo.
The occasional fill-in is a great name for
Takiya.
The documentary.
Like, I'm seeing this clip of him and Edgar Alfonso.
Edgardo Alfonso.
Edgardo Alfonso.
Can you do that twice?
Yeah,
sorry.
Landry Shamet. Listen over there, Peter Schwartz.
It was just funny because yesterday.
That's why he likes him so much.
I felt like yesterday I was getting a play-by-play of media day for the New York Islanders.
No,
from Peter.
Rookie minicamp.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, these are just, it's so many quotes. I just don't need that many.
Zachary Richard.
Yeah, I have no idea, but 98% of the stuff that he's talking about, I don't know, I don't go that deep into the Islanders roster. I just don't understand what he's doing, but he's fascinating to me.
He was a GM of a
Yes, and he was a GM of a football league, team.
And got to resign,
in protest.
Yes, right. What's the right word?
Either he walked out.
Yeah.
Manned because he.
And the league, by the way, never played a game. Never, ever, ever.
I hate that for him, though.
Yeah, that stinks, because he went into it with really good intentions. And it just feels like,
he really did.
Speaking of, what's going to happen, it just feels like whatever that league was, somebody feels like they're going to jail off this, because hope not, but it seems like someone was defrauded at some point. It
feels like some Fire Fest situation going on.
Like, no one ever had any.
Right. Like, there were never going to be games played, given the what was going on.
Exactly. Ja Rule was never showing up.
Exactly.
Didn't Peter say that there was some litigation going on, so maybe we should shut up?
He did say that.
Possibly.
Well, it's not our litigation.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think people paid for tickets. I think that's going to be
the... Never got the money back.
Right, exactly.
Yes. I think that's kind of the linchpin of the whole...
Pablo Torre finds out about this. Steve Ballmer going down first with the Clippers, and then, or we think, Pablo Torre doing some more reporting yesterday. We'll get into that. And next, maybe he can set his sights on whatever this defunct football league was that Peter Schwartz seemed to have gotten scammed out of.
I think Peter Schwartz would have been a good GM. You think he could have built a champion?
He's definitely going to build in the trenches. Probably too much emphasis on special teams,
his
I would imagine.
His son was his assistant GM. He wasn't finding anybody to play football.
No, I think I agree with Maggie. blow all the salary cap on the long snapper. Yeah. His son was a college level long snapper.
Is
still there?
Where does he play?
Northwest East Connecticut.
No, he's always on his third school in 2 years though.
Because he was on Wagner, right?
Yeah.
Some school in Staten Island. No.
CW Post.
He's at Post University, which I believe is in Connecticut, is a Division II school.
Gotcha.
He was at a different Division II school for last season, then was temporarily in Nassau Community College,
This is college these days.
I read the headline, the transfer portal's ruining everything.
Everything.
According to the Instagram, it is Post University. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you're watching the game last night. How many of those college players, and we know because Kirk Herbstreit's doing the game, so we get the full college background on every guy. Everyone's gone to three schools.
I'll be honest. Anytime now I see a bad snap, I really think, man, because Miami had one week one against Notre Dame. I thought, should we have gotten Schwartz's son? I swear on everything. I really thought about that. Because I was like, it can't, like, Schwartz asked me how many times he practices. I was like, if our guy on the first field goal screws up, Why were we calling Schwartz?
And you guys called me a bad man.
You've met his dad, and he's the most unathletic person in this building.
Oh, long snapping. There's no athleticism in that.
Hey, man, special teams. I'd be telling y'all.
EJ, I got to be honest. We're talking about the Miami Hurricanes. You're up against something here, which is the story of the USF Bulls.
Oh, I'm aware. Yeah.
This is a good freaking story, man. I was reading a little bit more about the coach.
Oh, yeah, that coach is legit. Alex Golish?
Golish?
Yeah.
Did you know that he and his family came over from Russia when he was 4 years old with $500? That's all they had.
God bless.
Spoke no English whatsoever. It's like an American dream story.
Yeah, I was saying last year, I was super impressed with, I know the score was 50-15. Anybody who watched the game knew that they played really tough. And they played Alabama tough last year. And that was a game that was close and going into the fourth quarter. That guy's hardcore. I think that he's
going up against vibes right now.
Yeah, and then, like, again, every team that plays them leaves different. You start tweeting at, you know, Boob 6ix9ine, or you start...
he's worried about the hangover.
Yeah, or you start spitting on people. I'm very concerned about how Miami's going to come out of this game. I'm concerned.
You should be. USF might be the most impressive football team we've seen so far this season.
I will say, though, I mean, now, you know, I'm immersed, obviously, in Miami Twitter, which... It's funny because every week, whoever the opponent is, they then join Miami Twitter, and it's just the back and forth. Some of the
sounds
worst,
like hellhole.
It's Florida, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, some of the worst things coming out of USF in terms of like trash talk, saying, "Oh, Miami, you guys aren't in Miami." I'm like, your name is South Florida, and you're in Tampa. Come on, guys, get some better trash talk.
Yeah, I will always maintain Tampa gets a bad rap. I love Tampa.
I do too, which is why I'm like, why are you even bringing this up?
Respectfully,
you guys
not
are so sure beating Florida makes them the most impressive team. Did you just say the most impressive team in the country?
Boise State week one, Florida week two, and that was in the swamp. I think that was very impressive.
Maggie, you're forgetting my Penn State and Nittany Lions. Come on.
Yeah, who you've played, what, like a JV team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Now we got Villanova. Watch out.
Yeah, wow.
Watch out for those Wildcats.
What's the spread on that, 100?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see how Jalen Brunson performs at quarterback.
Yeah. That's a legit FCS team, Villanova, but it's still an FCS team.
I think Villanova could probably beat Florida. I don't know. Like, when's the last time they had a winning season? I mean, last year, I guess it came back at the end of the year.
DJ Washington's a Heisman Trophy candidate.
I'm looking at the record.
When was the last time?
2024. 5-7, 8-5.
4 months ago.
Yeah, but I mean.
Literally the last season they had.
Oh, shut up, Bogus. Jesus.
Manny's laughing too, and Maggie said
Bogus,
something.
Bogus, your ability to find nuance in a discussion is 0.0. That's why.
No, he's a facts guy.
God, I'd rather talk sports with a garbage can than you sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know how to process when you say things like that. So because I don't want to talk to you about things either.
It's obviously hyperbole. Like, it's how people talk about sports, whatever.
It was last year. It was funny. That's all I said.
Maggie, they're fighting again.
Wait, I just had to get the spread here on this Penn State Villanova game.
Maggie's on her phone while these two are arguing.
I'm sorry.
And bickering.
It's DraftKings. The poll is very tough. 47.5. And James Franklin will cover that spread for the alums.
I don't think so.
He always runs up the score.
They beat FIU 34-0 last week, and it was at 47.5. They were not even close to covering.
Just wait.
But this one's about Philadelphia.
Yeah, this is Philadelphia pride right here.
Fair enough. Right. Fair enough.
Both Philly teams.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know Penn State's Philadelphia's college.
Yeah, right around the corner.
All right, let's go to break. 888-710. Meanwhile, that South Florida-Miami spread is pretty big. It's 17.5.
I just saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And they're begging you to take the points.
They are.
I heard your boy Pat Boyle take them this morning.
Uh-oh.
He did?
He took the points, yeah.
He's a salty because they came to South Florida and got their craniums cracked.
Oh, Notre Dame did, yeah. Man.
Big nut guy.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, a players-only meeting after week one? Sure.
I have dementia.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. You're welcome to weigh in about the Packers' big win last night, 27-18, and they do look like a Super Bowl team. That defense is something. But Pearl, from the top of the heap, maybe to the bottom, did you see yesterday that the Miami Dolphins had to hold a players-only meeting after the first week one loss? And now, listen, it's funny because these players-only meetings just seem like a bunch of eyewash. But
that was a miserable experience.
I'm kind of happy that at least someone's doing something. I mean, I don't believe in a lot of these players-only meetings. And, you know, they're going to play the Patriots this weekend, and that's going to be a pretty big test, actually, to see whether or not everyone has packed it in on the season.
I'm wildly confused. So they're favorites in this game.
Yeah, they are.
They were by far the worst-looking team in week one.
Not even close.
Most games were close in week one. It was almost record-setting close, and they didn't even show up on the field. I thought the Patriots were going to be favored in this one, even in Miami. I don't think it's going to work.
The players-only meeting?
Yeah, I mean, Tua looked lost. The team didn't look like they're listening to Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel himself made errors. It feels like, I hate to say it, he feels a little checked out himself in a weird way. Maybe it's his style.
Yeah, maybe he feels a little dead man walking. Maybe he is not feeling the support from inside the building. But still, like, to your point, missing challenges and weird stuff like
procedural errors.
Like, even when you know you're about to get fired or you feel like you're about to get fired, you still have to book good stuff on tape for your next job, don't you? And remember last year when Bradley Chubb was like, we said that the vibes were better last year, but we were lying. They're actually better this year. Like, what is going on with this team?
Yeah.
It is just, it's bad. But again, I guess at least they're doing something. Someone had the like thought to get the guys together to say, like, what are we about and do a players-only meeting?
There's so much talent on this team, like at least names. I mean, you obviously have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, but look at their defense. They just resigned Zach Sealer, and Chop Robinson looks great in preseason. Bradley Chubb is Bradley Chubb. Like, they shouldn't be the worst team in the league. They have too many veterans. They're not young either. I mean, they're not up and coming by any means. They put all this money into Tua.
No, I know. Well, that might have been a huge mistake because he can't stay healthy. I don't know. Players-only meetings, you guys into them? After week one, I mean,
so yeah, I like the players-only meeting. You're generally against it?
Well, there's a couple rules for the players-only meeting that you have to abide by. Number one, you cannot call a players-only meeting if you are playing a good team either the next day or the next week.
This is a football rule.
No, this is all sports.
Because in baseball, Bryce Harper calls a players-only meeting about every 3 weeks. He's a big players-only meeting guy.
Yeah, Mr. Trout.
Baseball's such a long season. I don't think you can pick and choose. You just have to pick a random time.
No, like you can't call the players-only meeting and then the next day you're facing Tarek Skubal on the mound. Like, you got to be strategic about when you call the players-only meeting.
A reminder that the Bulls last season called a player team meeting after a 20-point loss in the first game of the season against the OKC Thunder, who ended up winning the title. Is that okay?
No, the Bulls stunk last year.
I was saying to Manny, like, in many ways, these Dolphins are the NFL Chicago Bulls. In many ways.
Just like in limbo, irrelevant.
Like the history of the past, they had the greatest team of all time, and it seems like they're never going to reach that status again. Like, we keep waiting for them to actually be
like,
good.
Yeah, like, what's the identity? Get teased with some of the talent.
They're very similar.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, the Bulls had that little run with Derrick Rose. He got hurt.
Just like the Dolphins.
But the Dolphins, it's been such a long time since they've made any noise in the playoffs. 1990 is their last like real run in any kind of playoff. That's what, 35 years.
Actually, we do have a little good news for the Dolphins fans. Congratulations. The 1972 Dolphins, Pearl, remain the King of the Mountain for the Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain Project. We're trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. Last week, 72 Dolphins took out the 1998 Minnesota Vikings. This week, they take out your 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, Pat McAfee's and all the Yinzers aren't going to be happy about this. I mean, where was Steeler Nation when we needed you? People are just looking at the records, Maggie. Yes, undefeated is better than two losses. I understand the math.
We'll see if the Miami Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, can run the table in the Maggie and Pearl off King of the Mountain.
Let a naysayer know.
All right, Miami Dolphins players-only meeting. Also, could Tyreek Hill be on the trading block? We'll get to that. Can you trade for a guy when he's caught up in all this off-the-field stuff?
And on the sideline stuff, too. Looks like he has a bad attitude right now.
Coming up, we will get you set for what will be a huge week in the NFL.
My dog.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.